With my eyes, with my nose pressed against the window of the minivan, my eyes drink in the grandeur of the valley plunging down below to what feels like unspeakable depths. My heart at the same time races as I pray to dear sweet Jesus that my dad keep all four wheels of the minivan on the asphalt of the narrow, twisting mountain road. This mix of sheer terror and awe means we're almost there. We're almost to my grandparents' cabin, built into the steep edge of a ridge overlooking the rolling hills of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. My sisters and I, we stumble out of the van as we push our way through the front door of the cabin. A chime on the back announces our arrival, and we're suddenly absorbed into the bright and warm chaos of stampeding cousins and the raucous laughter of aunts and uncles. Before my parents can rope us into unloading the van, my sisters and I, we meld into the mass of cousins racing down the basement stairs and disappear into the maze of musty bedrooms to play games like Orphanage and Lost Kids in the Woods, because all of our games seem to involve kids without any parents. In the morning, I pad upstairs for pancakes and I sit at the kitchen table. And I gaze out the huge floor-to-ceiling windows that line the back of the cabin. And I watch as the fog that gives the Smoky Mountains its names rolls over the mountaintops and pools into the blue-green valleys below. While everyone's still waking up, I wander over to my favorite spot. It's this large coffee table in the center of the living room. And I sit down, and what I love about it is it's a wooden coffee table, and on top of the wood, it's overlain with a glass top. And in between the wood and the glass, it's filled with family photos. One of my Uncle Mike in his suit and my Aunt Brenda in her wedding dress, standing in front of the stone hearth of the cabin, right where they had gotten married. Another of the cabin, the back of the cabin, looking up from the valley below. One of me and my sisters and my cousins all piled up on the couch, wearing the same t-shirt, of course. And my grandfather, he is squeezed in the middle of us, smiling. I stop at this picture, and I'm hit with a wave of sadness. Sadness because I'm reminded that the reason we're all here together at the cabin is because of him, my grandfather. But he's the only one who's not here with us. So my grandparents, they grew up out west, and when my grandfather finished his PhD in mechanical engineering, he had his pick of jobs. Lucky him. And Knoxville, Tennessee was the winner, and so my grandparents, they packed everything up and they moved down south. And my grandfather, he was tasked with starting the first nuclear engineering department in the country at the University of Tennessee. And with that decision, my mother, my aunts, my uncles, my sisters, and I, we all became East Tennesseans. About 30 years later, it was finally time for my grandfather to retire. And my grandmother and my grandfather, they decided they wanted to move out of the suburbs and up into the mountains. And that's when they built the cabin. But before they could move in, my grandfather, he passed away. I was only 6 years old. My family, they decided to keep the cabin, and it's a decision I'm truly grateful for because it left me with this tangible piece of my grandfather, this place where I could connect with him and remember him. I'm grateful because all those trips to the family cabin and up to the mountains, it fueled my curiosity for this incredible world that we live in. It led me to study geology and eventually become a climate scientist. Just as science had led my grandfather to East Tennessee led me to science. Science has now taken me to Washington, D.C., where I am raising my own family. And I can't help but wonder sometimes how living in the middle of this crazy, busy, bustling city is shaping my own son's life. This all came to a head a couple years ago when we were driving down to rural Virginia to visit my sister. And my then toddler son, he points out the window and then he asks in the most perplexed voice, he asks, "Mommy, what are those?" Mountains? And what's on them? Oh, trees. Y'all, I just have to say, for an East Tennessee girl, nothing could be more mortifying. I knew then and there I just had to get that city kid up into the mountains ASAP. So I decided when we went to go visit my family later that year for Christmas, we absolutely had to make a trip to the cabin. But on November 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving, and just a month before I was going to take my son for that first trip to the cabin, two teenagers, they climbed up to the Chimney Tops. It's one of the most popular hiking trails in the Smoky Mountains. And they dropped matches along the way. Now, spot fires like these are pretty common in the area, but they're usually kept under control, put out pretty quickly, not too much damage. This time was different. Months of extreme and exceptional drought had made the usually lush forest tinder dry. On a couple days later, on November 28th, the growing but still contained fire was suddenly whipped up into a firestorm by unseasonable hurricane force winds. The winds swept up the embers and carried them for miles over ridge, over ridge, over ridge, starting new fires along the way. Fire exploded across the park and down into the tourist town of Gatlinburg below. We had never seen anything like this before, except for on TV of the fires that happen here out west. We never thought that something like that could happen in East Tennessee. I immediately called my mom and was overcome with relief to hear that my aunt and uncle, who were often up at the cabin, that they weren't there that night. But my relief didn't last very long. Soon, the news was filled with stories, and on social media, we found out that ultimately 14 people lost their lives that night. It would be a couple more days before my family was finally cleared to go up and check on the cabin. But when the texts and the pictures arrived, my heart sank. From the road, it looked like a beautiful, unobstructed view of the neighboring ridge across the way. You almost wouldn't know a cabin once stood there, except for the stone chimney that was poking up amongst the burnt trees, marking the spot where my aunt and uncle had said their wedding vows. From the edge of the road, looking down, revealed the only other thing left was the cinder block foundation, littered with ash and the charred remains of everything else that was inside. Gone were the wooden basement steps that my cousins and I trooped up and down playing games. Gone was the table, the kitchen table that I sat at and watched as the fog spilled over the mountaintops. And gone was that coffee table filled with all our family photos. Gone was that tangible piece of my grandfather, as well as all my hopes for sharing the family traditions and experiences with my son. My family decided not to rebuild the cabin. And just as their earlier decision to keep the cabin after my grandfather passed away, and my grandparents' decision to move to East Tennessee in the first place, just as those decisions shaped the trajectory of my life, I can't help but wonder how this decision, the decision not to rebuild, will shape my son, my nieces, and my nephews. And I think about how decisions that could have been made 30 years ago may have kept a spot fire from becoming a firestorm. And I think about 30 years from now, my son is the same age as I am. What decisions will he wish that I had made, that we had made? Thank you.